Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Stephen Groos, the head of African Governance and Diplomacy Program at the South African Institute of International Affairs. Been a long, long time, Stephen. Great to have you back with us on Chai FM. How are you this afternoon?
I'm very well, Simon. Nice to speak to you again. I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay, I think we're both doing better than ex-president Jacob Zuma. So let's talk about the topic at hand today. Clearly a media storm in South Africa. Your reaction, did you expect this? Are you surprised? What's your take?
I think it's shown that the Constitutional Court is independent and is able to take politically momentous decisions without being pressurized by the various parties. I mean, I think it's any day that a former head of state is sentenced to some prison time has got to be a time for reflection for the country. And it's a sad day. There may be people who are rejoicing and saying justice is done and he needs to serve time, but it's also a bit of a sad day that we're in this predicament at all.
Yeah, you're saying exactly what another commentator I read earlier on today said, the exact same thing. This is no cause for celebration. This is rather time for introspection as to how did we get ourselves into this place in the first place. But that having been said, I can't contain the fact that I'm feeling quite deliriously happy that he is going to jail. This is, to me, marks a really important move from gangster state to a state again being ruled by the rule of law. I mean, wouldn't that be a correct assessment of the situation, sir?
Absolutely. I think the State Capture Commission over the last 3 years has shown how much our institutions were put under pressure. The court itself, the Director of Public Prosecutions, the anti-corruption agencies that we had, all parts of the state were really being threatened by criminals who wanted to divert it for their own enrichment. And Zuma has been caught up in this web. You know, we don't know his own corruption file has been in and out of the court for over 10 years. This particular judgment that he is to serve 15 months in prison is actually for contempt of the Zondo Commission, of the Commission on State Capture. Refusing to testify and defying and delaying and so forth. And, it seems like the chickens have come home to roost now.
I'm going to ask you an unfair question. Unfair because I'm going to ask you to step into his mind and tell me what on earth could he have been thinking? How could this have ended differently?
So a little bit of the same way that he treated former Tuli Madonsela, I've just forgotten the name of the institution, Public Protector, sorry.
Public Protector,
He took her recommendations as just that, as recommendations, as not having any force in law and therefore ignorable. And I think he's taken much the same attitude to the Zondo Commission, that this is, even though, it's been set up with very clear terms of reference, he sees it as out to get him. And he's not beyond using delay tactics, as we've seen over the last decade, to keep himself out of jail. One's wondering what might be on the cards for the next few days, what his supporters are going to do. But it does look like the gap is narrowing for him to wiggle out of this one. But, not unlike a prime minister in a country about 6,000 miles away, never count him out. And I would say the same thing for President Zuma.
So that was the next question I was hoping to ask you about social cohesion in South Africa and where to from here, because apparently already the Mkhonto we Sizwe veterans under the sage leadership of Carl Niehaus are making their way to Nkandla. I would imagine the EFF have got what to say, even though they're not a huge supporter of Zuma. If you had to take the pulse of the country, how many and to what extent does he have support?
Well, that's always difficult to gauge. I mean, we know that the ANC itself is an institution that's very divided, that's very factionalized, that President Ramaphosa has had endless battles on trying to unite the party. I think there could be hundreds or a couple of thousands of really diehard Zuma supporters who might make this difficult. They may encircle Nkandla and not let the police in, which they have to be in. He's got 5 days to present himself. If he doesn't do that, then the Minister of Police has 3 days in which to arrest him. You know, this could get ugly. We've seen a lot of things that spill out of the court onto the street in South Africa over the years, and this may be no exception. It's very difficult to gauge the strength of his supporters. But as you say, they're already massing and starting to gather on social media. Twitter is dividing into Zuma files and Zuma folks, and both are having their say. And again, you know, that's one of the arenas in which these political battles.
I think it hit me really strongly reading the news this afternoon was the fact that the judges, bar none, were all black. And I thought, given the fact that ex-president Jacob Zuma has been a master manipulator of the race issue, I feel an enormous sense of relief that the justices who are responsible for putting him away for 15 months are all bar none black. I know it shouldn't be a factor, but it is, given South Africa's history.
I think one claim about the Constitutional Court in its current makeup is that there aren't, this is more racially diverse. But having said that, I think, Zuma would love to play the race card and plays it at any moment that he can. I heard earlier, though, his spokespeople saying that the fact that it was not a unanimous judgment, that it was a 7-2 split among the 9 Constitutional Court judges, give some room to suggest that this is not constitutional, but I don't think they're going to get on that argument.
Could you perhaps unpack that point of the 7-2? Because my understanding was that they all agreed with a judgment, just had different opinions as to how it should be implemented. What in fact is the difference in the judgment?
My understanding is slightly different in that there were 2 dissenting judges who form a minority position, and that's not uncommon. It doesn't have to have a unanimous agreement to every judgment that the Constitutional Court makes. Courts around the world are well known for split decisions. So there may be a line of argument. You know, the Zuma supporters and the ANC are saying that they are going to study the judgment. This always happens. But they may use the fact that there were some dissenting voices as a wedge to try and force this issue away from him serving time.
This is, though, final, right? There's no room left for him to move in terms of appealing, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't think there's a way to appeal this. It seems very clear. They said that they were not going to impose a suspended sentence and that actually using the threat of jail would be useless, would not have any effect. So it does seem final, but, you know, on these things, you just never know. It's a bit like watch this space. You don't know what legally it seems done and dusted, but what might happen politically.
Stephen Groos, lots of food for thought there. Thank you for your time this afternoon. We really did need some expert weighing in on this issue, being so topical as it is. Thank you for your time this afternoon. Really much appreciated.
Thanks, Simon. Nice to talk to you again.